I'd like to begin today with a little bit of a commercial announcement. If you think back to last Sunday, the readings, and this Sunday, in the second reading, we heard both times from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, from the beginning of chapter 12 and today from the end of chapter 12. And in both cases, St. Paul puts before us a list of different charismatic gifts. Now, charismatic gifts are basically gifts that are meant to build up the body of Christ. There are gifts that God gives to us for our own sanctification. But there are other gifts that God gives us that are for others, so that we can build up the body of Christ. And if you look at the list, both from last week and this week, one of the gifts that is listed there is healing. That people are given the gift of healing. Last night we had our healing service, our monthly healing service, because it was the last Saturday of the month. But I wanted to draw your attention to next month's healing service, because it's a little bit of a special one. We have a special guest coming in, John Connolly, who is a lay evangelist. Really nice fellow. I've known John for many, many years. But he's coming to lead a more extensive healing service next month. So I certainly invite everybody to take part in that. Last night, Deacon Pat asked me two questions. He didn't ask them for his benefit. He asked them for the benefit of everyone. Because on this Word of God Sunday, because his questions were related to what we're celebrating here with the Word of God Sunday, he asked me, what translation of the Bible should people get? Now, even that question, when we talk about a translation of the Bible, it indicates to us automatically that the Bible is being translated from one language to another. And we know that a translation from one language to another is always going to limp a little bit. It's impossible to get a perfect translation from one language to the other. But even with this limitation, we know that God can still speak to us through His Word, even though it's translated from one language to another. But there are many, many good, authentic, beneficial translations of the Bible that are available to us. The one that we use here at Sunday Mass is the Revised Standard Version, or the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. I usually recommend to people to get that one because it's easier to listen to because we're used to it from what we hear at Mass on Sundays. But there are many, many good translations. There are some translations, of course, that are poor because they really mistranslate certain things that can be deceptive when we're reading through the Bible. But for the most part, when you get a Catholic version of the Bible, you're going to get something that is a good and worthy translation of the Bible. The second question that Deacon Pat asked me is about a study Bible. Because when you get a study Bible, you don't just get the text of Scripture. You get also some study notes. Some can be very brief, explaining certain things about what we're reading. Some study Bibles are much more extensive, so you can get many notes in terms of helping us to understand the Bible. And those are obviously beneficial to us. Never as beneficial as taking a Bible study, because there you get even more explanation, but they are helpful. One of the things you notice in today's readings, both in the first reading and in the Gospel reading, that not only is the Scripture proclaimed to the people, but it's with explanation. That the Bible passages are being explained to the people because it's not always obvious on the surface what it is that is being said to us, what message is being communicated to us. And that's why explanation is always very, very helpful for us, because the Bible is not like a catechism. In a catechism, you have the faith laid out in a very orderly fashion, in a very clear fashion. In the Bible, everything that God wanted to reveal to us is there in the Bible. But it's not presented in a systematic way, in an obvious way. And so it's very easy for us to not understand what we're reading when we're going through the Bible. And that's why things like Bible studies, study notes, all those things are beneficial to us. Now, you know, with today, there's so much. There's three things really that I want to address today, but I'm not going to be able to address all of them. One is the Word of God, and you know, I've already started that, but I'm going to say a few more words. The other is going on with our consideration of the liturgy, because on this Sunday, we're asked to reflect on the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. But the third one is the Jubilee year, because today's readings, both the first reading and the Gospel, have a connection with the Jubilee year. Jesus, in quoting from Isaiah, is quoting from a part that is telling the people about the coming great Jubilee that God is going to usher in. Of course, that is fulfilled with the coming of Jesus. But also in the first reading, the people are being made aware of the consequences that come from them not observing the Jubilee year as God had given it to them. I won't be able to deal with that, though, unfortunately. But just to let you know that those things are there in today's readings. But I'd like to take you, we had today the very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. As a matter of fact, the first few verses are the very, very beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And the rest of what we have in the Gospel goes to chapter 4. So we have the very first verses of the Gospel, then we jump to chapter 4. There's a reason for that. But I'd like to take you to the end of the Gospel of Luke. Because at the end of the Gospel of Luke, we have the account of Jesus walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he's talking to them, telling them about everything that is concerning him in all of the Old Testament scriptures. But then when they get to their destination, Jesus makes as if to go on, but they press him, stay with us. So Jesus stays with them, sits down at table, takes the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. And with the breaking of the bread, the disciples recognize him, but he vanishes from their sight. When we think about the Eucharist and the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, it's that whole reality of recognizing Jesus in the breaking of the bread. That Jesus truly is present there. And we always have to ask God to give us the faith that is needed to believe in this great mystery which God has revealed to us in the scriptures. Because again, it's not easy for us. Jesus said in John chapter 6, which we heard last summer, Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me." We need to be drawn by the Father if we're going to believe in the great mysteries which Jesus has revealed to us. But we also see that this is belief in the Eucharist is kind of a litmus test for our faithfulness to Jesus. Because when Jesus gives this teaching about us eating his body and drinking his blood, after Jesus gives that teaching, his disciples say, "This is intolerable language. Who can even listen to it? We can't bear listening to it." And they leave him. They leave him because of the teaching on the Eucharist. And so this is why it's kind of a litmus test as to whether we'll listen to Jesus or not, whether we will be faithful to Jesus or not. So like I say, we always need to believe in this. And again, it's not just what's revealed to us in the scriptures, but what Christians have believed throughout the centuries and the signs that God has given to us to confirm our belief, to say, yes, this is what I meant by that. I did mean, really, that you are to eat my body and drink my blood. So it's important for us to recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. But something else that the disciples say after they recognize Jesus, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as he talked to us on the road, as he explained the scriptures to us?" We should want this spiritual heartburn, that our hearts would burn within us as we not only hear the scriptures, but we hear them explained. Because in the Word of God, we encounter Jesus. The words of St. Jerome, the church has taken as her own, where St. Jerome said, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. If we don't know the scriptures, we really don't know Jesus. And there's very little excuse for us. Back in the day, back centuries ago, people generally couldn't read. And so a lot of the artwork in the church would tell them about the stories of Jesus. We can read. You know, we have that ability. Or even to listen to the podcast, like the Bible in a Year podcast, to be able to do things like that, to go to a Bible study, to familiarize ourselves more and more with the Word of God and to encounter Jesus through His Word. Very, very important. So on this Word of God Sunday, we want to make sure, because, you know, again, when we think about what translation of the Bible is the best translation, really the translation of the Bible that's the best translation is the one that you're going to read. And so we don't want the Bible sitting on the shelf collecting dust. We want to familiarize ourselves. And the last point that I'd like to make, and this is something that comes from the very beginning of today's gospel, because Luke makes it very clear that what he is presenting here are things that really happened. There are a number of places in the gospel of Luke where Luke situates his account in a historical setting. When this person was governor here, and when so-and-so was governor there, and this, you know, he was telling the things that were happening in the world at that time, and this happened too. So Luke is making it very, very clear that what he is recounting here is real history. It differs from sort of mythical types of recountings because it does situate it in a historical context. Even in our creed, when we're praying our creed, which Deacon Pat dealt with last weekend, it situates it in history when he says he suffered under Pontius Pilate. They place a historical figure so that we know that these are things that really did happen. Mythical recountings start something like this, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, you know. It's not putting it in a particular time, place, or once upon a time. You know, these are mythical types of recountings because it's just out there. It's not grounded in historical circumstances. But Luke is making it very, very clear that what he is giving to us here is history. These things really did happen, and he's calling us to believe in what Jesus has revealed to us. So in all of this, the Word of God Sunday, we want to make sure that we familiarize ourselves with the Word of God, to recognize that ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. If we want to know Jesus, we should learn about the Bible, but also the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, to be able to recognize Christ in the breaking of the bread, which is revealed to us in the Scriptures, but confirmed for us in the signs that God has given to us throughout all of history.